It is the Love Line. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Everyone saw Drew at the fabulous K-Rock Weenie Rose.
Fabulous.
For those of you who are not familiar with the K-Rock or the Weenie Rose, maybe you're listening from around the country. It's the big local radio concert where all the grandfather of them all.
Yeah.
This the ninth annual. Been going on longer than most. I'd say the most ones have been going on for 2, 3, 4 years. Going on 9 years. All the big bands. And very enjoyable.
And as we found out last week, they're not paid.
No.
That's the power of this station.
That's right.
It anoints them and they must come.
I rocked out pretty good. Had my buzz on.
No kidding.
With producer Ann and engineer Anderson, who was really getting off. I mean, I thought something was going to start dribbling down his leg at a certain point.
You like that Shaq rap?
Shaq rap was good. I was digging it. Shaq came out there, did a little crowd surfing.
With 311.
Up with 311, circled in the Shaq helicopter and then came down.
Is that his helicopter?
I'm sure he chartered it and put a sticker on it. But the point is made a big appearance Shaq did at the Weenie Roast. And I was pretty impressed. I thought he was good. I like to hear Shaq using the F word.
A lot.
A lot, which is nice. Cause
you
see him on those reading commercials and stuff. And maybe I missed it, but you don't hear the F word as much.
He kept repeating three words. One of them had the F word. One of them was the F word.
Let's not take away from what Shaq did.
Oh, I know. He flew in a helicopter.
No, I think, and I'm looking at Anderson and... who's the other one? Ann, yes, I'm losing my mind. Producer Ann. And I was pretty impressed by Shaq.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, 311 played great behind him. He came in, he did his thing. The crowd loved it. It kept right in pace with everything else. His energy was great, and it was kind of a treat.
Oh, it was
neat.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, I had a good time. And 311 was great, and the Cult was great, mm-hmm. and Jane's Addiction was great, and STP. Always puts on a good show. You didn't know they were going to be there.
Mm-mm.
Surprise guess, STP. I'll tell you that STP, and I agreed with a lot of my friends, which was don't have any STP CDs. Think they're a good band, but don't sit around and listen to them. Neither did any of the guys I went to the show with. Everyone impressed. Very good live show.
Yeah, they're good guys.
Yeah. No, good band.
Yeah, yeah.
Good live band.
Yeah.
And actually, everyone was really good. Coldplay was good. I didn't see, if I'm leaving somebody out, I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings, but I didn't see, I had to go refuel.
Friends of Linkin Park?
Every once in a while. Yeah. Linkin Park, in the bio, mentioned Drew as their greatest influence. Or something like that. Whatever it was flattering.
Nice. It was nice.
Yeah. It was nice when Ian from the Cult wanted to take the big wheeled tripod stage camera and roll it over somewhere. And the guy, and I love a tech. You know, in radio, you get to deal with a lot of these engineers. Not Anderson. He's a rock and roll engineer. But the typical engineer, you know, the guy with the bad mustache and the lazy eye. Not fat, but yet manages to have a gut. You know that guy? And he don't give a good goddamn who's in the studio. Don't touch the board.
Right.
He'll chew out. I mean, he would, you know, he'd chew out Ice-T or Kobe Bryant. He Julio Iglesias or Frank Sinatra, if he was back from the grave and leaned on the board, a good radio engineer would chew on his ear a little bit.
Yeah.
Tech guys are all that same guy. We don't care who you are, rock and roll. Look, we've seen them come and go. I got to man this camera. This is my livelihood. So Ian from the Cult was, you know, he was running all through the crowd. He went all the way to the top. The big, fat security guys were going nuts. I trying to chase him. He was ahead of everyone. Then he got back on stage, and he started pulling one of the cameras, the big tripod camera with the wheels on it, trying to slide it over. The cameraman wouldn't give him an inch. He started pushing on him. And the thing that was great is Ian pushed him a little, and then he kind of pushed him back. Like, he's like, look, I don't care if there's, you know, 18,000 people watching. This is my camera. And then Ian went away, and then one of the bouncers from the Cult just basically pummeled the guy and threw him into the audience.
The cameraman?
Threw the cameraman into the audience, which is funny, because it's kind of like, well, technically he should be on stage and he's doing a job, but yet he did touch one of the guys in the band, so I guess he's got to go.
Oh my God.
And it was like a weird delayed thing, too, because Ian and the camera guy went back and forth for, you know, a couple beats, quick volley, and then Ian kind of left them alone, and the guy was sort of back at his camera for a beat, and then the guy pummeled him and threw him into the pit.
Oh, my God.
That was nice. But let me tell you something that delighted me more than anything yesterday, and I know this is going to sound strange, but every time I go to one of these concerts, they have all the security guys there, and these poor guys, they got their earplugs in,
right?
Big husky, corn-fed guys, and their backs are to the stage. And I watch you, and you know, 18,000 people up on their feet, rocking out. Security guys just standing there, right?
Yeah.
And usually, half of them are black. They get a lot of black guys to these security. And I realize this ain't their music. I'm not trying to be racist, but let's face it. Not a lot of black guys listen to Jane's Addiction and STP. This is not their Coldplay or even the Cult. This is not their music. So they're standing around. They're generally looking miserable. But there was one big black bouncer. This guy was working my aisle. And this guy was rocking and moving and flowing the whole time. And it was so delightful for me to see this guy finally enjoying himself. Yeah. I always take notice of the bouncers who just look like they're stuck in the wrong place.
Right.
Like, there's people who have, you know, they sold their car and quit their job so they could get money together to give to a scalper, to hitchhike, to come halfway across the country to be at this gig. Yeah. And this guy's standing 2 feet from stage, couldn't be more miserable.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it makes me miserable when I see the bouncers miserable. I like to see a guy having a good time.
Yeah, and how hard is it just to kind of...
Yeah, give him a little bop.
Yeah.
This guy was working, Anderson, I don't know if you saw this guy. He was there for the first three quarters of the concert, two-thirds of the concert. He was working our aisle, standing about three or four aisles below us to the right side as you face the stage. And he was like bopping and grooving and doing the guitar riffs and stuff. And at first I thought, well, you're going to... Got this black guy into Coldplay? Wow, this doesn't seem like their crowd. But then the next band came around, he was rocking, and finally Donovan, this guy was just rocking out to everything, and barely checking stubs. People were coming by, just like passing him, smacking him on the back, making it part of like the drum riff and the guitar riff. Eventually, I think they moved him. Did you guys see that guy?
Yeah, I saw that guy. He knew all the words, too, to every single song.
He knew every song, and he was just grooving. He was, like, dancing. He was moving the whole time, and people were blowing past him right and left, and he was just like, hey, brother, enjoy. He was like, but it was nice to see a security guy rocking and grooving a little, and I would like to start a security company where I would force all my guys to rock out and groove out. I think the crowd would really enjoy it.
They'd be all business when the time came.
When it comes time to get down, they get down. But nothing worse than that big fat guy with the crew cut and his arms folded, just standing there on stage. And you're like enjoying, but you're kind of seeing him standing there too. And I like to see him bopping a little.
Yeah,
it was enjoyable. So anyway, great concert. All right, ready to go to the phones?
There
Andrew?
We go. Yeah.
Man show on tonight, by the way. Yeah, Comedy Central.
What is my thing in there?
Your man show bit will air in the new season, which premieres a week from tonight.
Okay.
10 o'clock Comedy Central. Sarah?
Hey,
you're 17. What's up?
Yeah. Okay, my problem is that, like, I'm not sure if I'm actually, like, having an orgasm when my boyfriend is eating me out. Because, like, okay, I just like, don't know, you know? Like, I just don't know whether it's an orgasm or not.
Well, if you were having one, you'd know it. So we have found that people who are questioning whether they've had one haven't had one.
Really?
Which is probably, you know, I think it's time that we could eliminate the word out from eating out.
Yeah. Yeah.
My boyfriend's eating me. We get the picture.
Yeah.
Right.
And you never hear, it's never EO'd or anything like that. It doesn't get a...
Yeah, there's no BJ equivalent to...
Yeah, there's, you know, what happened to the BJ? Well, the BJ is the blowjob, but the eating out, no EO. No? Why is that?
Maybe it
doesn't work.
Maybe you should start something here.
It doesn't sound right, EO.
I have another question, too.
Yeah.
Also, like, sometimes I just get, like, really bored. Like, it's the weirdest thing, because I have, like, liked him for, like, the longest time.
Did you hear what she said?
She gets really blood because she has distemper for the longest time.
Bored.
Bored?
When what?
Like I just get bored. Like, when we're, like, doing stuff, I just get bored.
Yeah, well, you're not...
What do you mean, stuff?
Like, you know, like, we've basically been doing, like, everything except having sex, and, like, I've just been getting...
Well, you're not into it. What, are you not into this guy?
No, I am so into this guy.
Sure.
I really am.
See, like, when he's FBing you or EOing you?
I No, I really am into him. I don't know why I get bored, because this has never happened to me before.
Well, maybe he doesn't exactly know what he's doing, perhaps.
Maybe you're not having that orgasm.
Oh, that's for sure. But I think he's not even getting near that, though.
Well, how do I get near it?
Well, you're 17. Are you a virgin?
No.
Why are you not having sex with this guy?
Well, we just haven't had it yet. I think it's going to happen, pretty soon, though.
What happened when in the past where you had it?
Well, it was with, a long-time boyfriend, and we only did it, a couple times.
And you didn't like it too much?
Well, I did. I mean, it wasn't as horrible as I thought it would be.
Boy.
So you give it just, a 4 on the crap-o-meter, right? I mean, you thought it was going to be a 7 or 8.
This, again, is the difference between men and women.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be horrible.
Yeah, it turns out it was just Luke bad.
Basically.
Yeah. And this is, by the way, this is the customer we're trying to sell to in high school.
Yeah. The guys.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Good luck. Sarah over here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No way. Listen, you're young. You're not developed. I know. She doesn't sound real connected to herself.
She's not connected to herself. She's not connected to him. We haven't heard anything to suggest that she shouldn't be able to. We haven't asked about masturbating yet.
Nah, I don't care. Yeah. Listen, she likes the guy. She really loves him. You know, take it slow and just kind of relax and work it out. This could be her workout guy.
She needs to talk to some women. I really get the feeling she needs another woman to really sit down and go, hey, this is how this works. This is how
you
feel.
Meanwhile, her friends are lying, saying that they had 150 orgasms.
Yeah, but you know what? She probably shouldn't talk to another 17-year-old. She needs to, talk to a 28-year-old.
Right. Drew, I notice you have a Band-Aid on your head, but it looks like it's made of stained glass. You couldn't just find a regular Band-Aid?
Winnie the Pooh Band-Aid.
Oh, is that Winnie the Pooh?
Yeah.
From here, it just looks like a bunch of purple and turquoise and yellow.
You know that hatchback in my car?
Yeah.
I leaned in, looked back, slammed it. Tore my head wide open.
Really?
It hurts much.
You have no adult Band-Aids in the house? They're all novelty children's Band-Aids?
Pretty much.
It's really quite distracting.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
You got one here? Maybe put on.
Dennis?
Yeah.
You're 20. What's up?
How's it going, Adam? How's
Good.
It going, Drew?
Dennis?
I have a question for you, actually. I'm a morning after pill supporter.
Yay.
And I called a local radio station in my area that was doing a talk on it, and they were saying how, you know, they feel it shouldn't be sold over the counter and all that good BS, you know what I mean?
Why?
They feel that if it's sold over the counter, that the kids are going to abuse it and use it for a contraceptive as far as, well, we can go out and have sex and then just take this and we won't get pregnant.
Yeah, that's ridiculous, but okay, that's her opinion.
Well, what I was wondering, though, is I usually do this, you know, whenever I find out radio shows are going to have talks, I usually call and help you guys out by...
God bless you.
...doing the supporting and all that.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dennis.
And I'm wondering, there's a lot of rumors going around about it as far as... What's the percentage-wise on effective of this pill? How effective
it's
is
about,
it?
It's about 70% overall, but the data, some decent data shows that if you use it in the first 24 hours, it's about 90% effective. In the second 24 hours, in other words, in the first 48 hours, about 80%, and then low 70s for the next, the third day. So it's about 70, 75% overall.
Okay, and it does, the morning after pill, I guess another thing they're saying, too, that I don't know if it's necessarily true, that it will, as far as, say, if the sperm and egg already meet within that 72-hour period.
Right.
Will the morning after pill stop the, will it do anything to that as far as?
Really nothing. Let's put it this way. It has a theoretic possibility of doing a little something.
Okay.
The same theoretic possibility exists with the birth control pill used normally.
Right.
So the same exact probability of it interfering with the implantation exists with the birth control pill taken the way it's always taken. The same theoretic possibility exists with a couple of medications that are used commonly, namely Celebrex and Vioxx, and no one ever talks about getting rid of those medicines based on this.
Exactly.
So why the F do get rid of this one thing that could significantly impact on our pregnancies, unwanted pregnancies, and abortion rate in this country? Why that one? It doesn't make any sense. And we had a woman from a Right to Life organization here who finally admitted that it was all forms of contraception that she wanted to see taken away. And that's a logical argument. I mean, if they want to show their cards and that's really where they want to go,
it's
that's
not
logical.
But at
no,
least
it's logical.
No, it's consistent.
It's consistent, yeah.
Right. And listen, all the people that argue for all this stuff that you can't understand, you got to take a look at them. There's a reason why they don't want people having sex. They're not getting any. Of course they don't want anyone to have sex. Jackasses. Oh, and look, people that raise a stink about, you know, you'd think, well, look, you you spend your life campaigning against abortions. Here's a way to cut into some abortions. You would embrace this with both hands. No, why not? Magically. Oh, they want to argue. That's it. They don't want people getting laid. Look, it's the same with all these environmental retards. You know, somebody comes up with some genetically altered wheat so it doesn't, you know, they can get more yield and feed the Biafrans, and they don't need as much pesticides and herbicides and everything. And they still, now they raise hell about
this. Because it's about the man doing something to them.
It's about them raising hell.
No, yes. But it's against the man.
Right.
The man's got to be doing something to me. Therefore, anyone that represents the man must be doing something bad to me because mom, dad, whatever, somebody did something to me when I was three.
Right.
And there
right.
you go.
Listen, all of you, anyone who's ever written a letter, anyone who's ever sued anybody, anyone who's ever had a lawsuit against the city or something, just please kill yourself. Please, let me get on with my life. Please, all you letter, anyone who's written more than three letters in their lifetime, take yourself out. Do me a favor, you jackasses. How did I manage to get to 37 goddamn years of age without ever writing a letter?
You got a radio show instead.
And I'm illiterate.
Yeah, that's who.
Okay, well, maybe we make a good point. Let's just move on. Mary?
Yep.
You're 16. What's up?
Yeah. Real quick, I went to the Weenie Roast and kicked ass.
Mm-hmm.
Except for I really wanted to see Dr. Drew because he's really hot.
Yeah, he's hot.
I was there.
He was there twice.
No, but I saw you from a big screen on the lawn with a bunch of potheads. So I was kind of, a little.
Yeah.
You know, when we went up real high there and we got our pick, we were announced a band from way up in the audience. Those seemed to be the people having the most fun.
Yeah, no.
You notice that?
Potheads on the lawn.
That would seem to be the greatest sort of appreciation of what was going on.
Oh no, it was totally fun, but we couldn't see you guys.
Well, listen.
But then again, we could see Shaq, so.
Yeah, you got a good look at Shaq, right?
The helicopter practically give you a haircut.
Yeah,
it was really, really low. Very exciting.
I'm thinking like a parent when I see a damn helicopter. Did they violate some laws or something? I mean, it seems awfully dangerous. Have a helicopter 8 feet above the head of 14,000 people?
Yeah, I always wonder how that works. Apparently it does, though.
I mean, Nick Morrow, what was his name?
Vic
Morrow, notwithstanding.
Yeah. I don't know how it works either. I keep thinking one of these times this thing's going to fall down and take out an entire crowd, and then there'll be a law. Well, that'll be fine. I'm willing to wait till that happens, as long as I'm not there. Mary?
Okay, yeah.
So what's your question?
All right, so I have a 42-year-old boyfriend.
Oh, did you say 42?
Yeah.
Wow.
Hmm. And
just out of curiosity, what does he do for a living?
He is a... I'll be there in a second. Wait a second.
Grandma?
No, Mom.
Oh, Mom.
Mm-hmm.
Is she there with the Father McConaughey?
Huh?
No. What does he do?
He works in percentages.
Works in percentages?
He makes a lot of money, don't worry. He's not a construction worker.
He's a real
estate.
Is he a salesman?
Yeah, real estate. There you go. Something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah.
It's bad when you end it's really... Ending an answer with that, there you go, is like saying, that's the ticket.
That's enough.
Yeah, I know. I just don't know, because,
okay.
You don't know what he does? You know he probably sells arms or something. So
no. I know. He's a really bad guy.
Anyways, no,
he's a horrible, horrible individual.
Let me speak my piece, okay.
Horrible. Mary, does he know how old you are?
Yes, he does.
And, okay.
All right, now, the problem is that, okay, we were getting to the point where we would be intimate, and he freaked out.
Oh, good.
While you're getting intimate?
Yeah.
No, not while, but
in the relationship.
Okay, let's figure this out. I mean, he couldn't possibly have had a moment of conscience.
Huh?
Right?
No.
He must have had something else.
What's his nationality? One of the suspect ones?
White guy. Irish white guy. White pride.
A Mick. I knew it.
Yeah.
Trouble those Micks.
Anyway.
All right. Where'd you meet this guy?
The beach. Santa Monica.
Mm-hmm. And where's your daddy?
In heaven.
How old were you when he left?
11.
You still looking for him?
Probably.
Okay. Yeah. There might be better ways to do that.
Yeah.
No.
She may want to scout hell, too. I mean, you have no telling.
What's that?
The thing is that I really now I feel connected to this person. And what I want to know is that, okay, he feels like he's doing, the right thing by waiting until I'm old enough.
The right thing.
Until you're 18. He's a dynamite individual.
Well,
dynamite.
No.
I'd like to get to know him better.
Yeah, he's a delightful person.
I'm sure he is.
No, he is. No, he thinks he's doing the right thing by waiting for me now.
Yeah, what do you think?
I wish he didn't because That's not what I want.
What do you want?
Him right now.
You want to sleep with him?
No, I want a relationship with him. That I'm not concerned with sleeping with him whatsoever.
You just want a boyfriend.
I thought he was your boyfriend.
He is my boyfriend, but now that he's scared of that, he just wants to be our friend now.
Mm. How long have you been seeing him?
3 months.
3 months?
Yep.
Does your mom know?
Nope.
Mom's going to have him put away for life.
Are you in high school?
Mm-hmm.
Are you doing okay in school?
Very well.
All right. Are you going to go off to college somewhere one day?
Yeah.
Good. Go far away.
Let's pray God that this guy...
He's going to go with me.
All right,
he's going with you.
He's going to go with me. He's going to pay for it.
Pay for college?
Yeah.
What is this?
He doesn't know that yet, though.
Why? Oh, yeah, he's going with you. Jeez. What must it be? Hey, what about the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus? You still believe in those two?
No.
What kind of bizarre fantasy or life are you living in? Mary, look. Your father passed away when you were young, and that's real tragic. And now the rest of your life is going to be some sort of retarded fantasy reaction to that?
Well, no, because I tried that whole people my age thing, and it doesn't work.
All right, that's fine. Do nothing for a while.
Cool out. I think that everybody my age is completely retarded.
That's fine. Go ahead and think that. But
Hold on a second. Hold on. Mary, you're your age too, retard.
Yeah, no, I know. It's typical.
I don't know.
Wait a minute.
I can't talk to her anymore.
I feel very sorry for Mary.
I do too.
Don't you hear the pain? I feel it anyway. But
that's my pain.
Mm, yeah. But Mary, here's this gentleman's job who sort of you fused with that you guys got sucked into this unhealthy situation. His job is to put a boundary down. His job is to not let you do these things you want to do. That's adults' job. That's what adults are supposed to do. He is not supposed to collude with you in this fantasy. He is supposed to frustrate you, in fact. And then you go ahead and grow through those feelings of frustration. Learn how to manage those feelings. I bet you some mourning, some feelings of loss will come with that in relation to your dad, frankly. And that will help you grow up and get through these things. If he gratifies this, he's going to keep you stuck where you are now, which is someone longing to reconnect with dad who's gone.
All right, I understood about a third of that. That meant that America understood about a 16th of it. So, and by the way, you don't like people your age? You're 16. Good. Date an 18-year-old. Why do you got to step into the 40s, for Christ's sake? All right. We'll take a little break. When we come back, we'll answer the question, does masturbation cause hair loss?
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
1-800-LOVE-191.
There's some Colt for you. Colt was really good. I really enjoyed them last night at the Big Weenie Rose.
So, we were having a big political discussion during the break.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah,
you want to get into that?
A little bit. I just want to say that, I heard what Joe Lieberman is suggesting for our
Who's
country.
Joe Lieberman?
He's the former presidential candidate, senator, who is going to tell us how we have to live our lives.
Was he Gore's vice president?
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, it's the people on the far right, the people on the far left are meeting in the middle in fascism. They're all becoming Nazis. They're going to tell us they know best how to live our life.
What's he telling us to do?
Every time I hear his name, it's an association with something about how he's going to legislate, how films are created, who are able to watch them, what we're able. I mean, all that stuff, all those freedoms that people. I should be able to judge. Here's what occurred to me is what I wanted to say. I spent every night of my life telling people on the radio, they drive me crazy because they don't listen to some of the things that are said on this show. They don't know the difference between unhealthy and healthy behavior. But I'm never going to tell them they must do it a certain way. Not a million years. I would never say, you might napalm neighborhoods and things just to protect the rest of us.
Yeah.
But I would never tell people, hey, you have to live a certain way. I'm going to say you're crazy for, just listen. You should learn. You should figure this out. It pains me that you don't. But the temerity of people to stand up and go, we're going to tell you how to live is so wrong.
Yeah.
It makes me insane.
Yeah, I agree. So, unless I say it.
No, you just, what
and
you
that's
do,
law.
No, you just kill people when they trouble the rest of us, when they restrict the rest of our freedoms. Then
yes.
You have them killed.
See? Yes.
Yeah, that's a different kind of logic.
Paul?
Yeah.
I have no problem with that. I stand by it
100%. I understand that. I hear about it every night.
Go ahead, Paul.
Thanks for taking the call. I hope this isn't taking up too much of your precious time with maybe a seemingly inferior question, but I wanted to put it to the master. I have to first cop to the fact that I have a little bit of an OCD problem.
All right.
I'm convinced that when I'm a little more active and pleasuring myself, the hair starts to thin out on top. And conversely, it seems like I start getting hairier legs and the rest of my body starts to get hairier. I know it sounds totally whacked and whatever, but...
Well, let's examine it a little bit.
Hold on.
There may be something to it.
Given the fact, too, that the people said with eunuchs, when they, you know, they obviously never lost their hair, and hence no testosterone and all that. So.
All right, hold on.
Well, let's comb through this the pun. First off, a lot of that extra hair in your legs could be just stuck to the semen that just made it down. That's happened to me a few times.
It just mats the hair.
Yeah, it never leaves. It's not actually growing.
It's coming off the cat. Yeah, I see.
Coming off the carpet. It's all over the place.
Yeah, nice.
Okay, what about this? What about testosterone?
Well,
raising your levels of testosterone when you're masturbating.
There is a sort of a curve that your testosterone levels will follow from low if you're not masturbating at all. It will start to climb if you're sexually aroused and active. And if you're overdoing it, it will start to fall again.
Uh-huh.
So there's sort of an optimal range of maximum testosterone release. But what I need to know for Paul is how long he's doing this before he notices the hair changes.
Please,
if you don't mind.
Yeah.
Paul?
Well, it seems, I mean, I've been worried about this for a couple of years now. And so I hold off for a while. And then when I start to do it again, I get guilty for a number of reasons.
But how long do you do it for before you notice these changes?
I don't know, a week?
No way that
really?
Fast. It would take at least like 3 to 6 months to see anything at all.
Yeah, that's
and,
his OCD.
And even then, hair growth and loss of hair aren't things that restore. If that's the direction you go, you keep going down that direction. You may not as quickly at lower testosterone levels, but that's the road you're going down. Also with OCD, it's really common to have perceptual distortions of all kinds of things like this, preoccupations and distortions of things.
Yeah, speaking of distortions, Dr. Bruce, everybody, I saw him at the Weenie Roast last night.
Yeah.
And Dr. Bruce fills in for Dr. Drew. Anyone who listens to the show knows Dr. Bruce's name, or as I like to call him, Dr. Spaz, paging Dr. Spaz. He's a lovable, quirky, Ichabod Crane, Scarecrow sort of a character. But yeah, I like the guy.
He's a great guy.
And he hangs around with us and stuff. And I don't know what to do with the guy.
Did he play baseball today?
I really don't. Well, that's what I want to say. I ran into Dr. Bruce last night, and we were hanging with him the whole night. He's a guy who probably didn't have many male or female friends. No friends growing up. You can tell he likes to hang out with guys, but he probably feels like he's the nerd trying to hang out with the cool guys or something.
You are an asshole.
Thank you. But all the guys I hang out with are nice and they like him, so I invite him over.
Nice.
But here's what I tell him.
You're not hanging out with nice guys. Fun guys.
They're fun guys who like Bruce. And I said to Bruce last night, Bruce, and by the way, you know what this show's deteriorated to? You and I having off-air conversations on the air, I realized. It's like, I want to talk to Drew about Bruce, but I don't feel like doing it while I'm taking a leak. Let's just get it over with. But Bruce said, and tell me what you would do with this, Ann. Bruce said, you saw Bruce last night quite a bit, too. He said, are we coming over to play basketball tomorrow? I said, yes, 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock is when we're playing. And he likes to waltz in about 5:30. He shows up late. He drives all the way up from Redlands. He drives like 100 miles, you know. So I said, Bruce, 3 o'clock tomorrow. He pulls in at 6:35 when we're leaving. Now he's got his truck and his laser, and he's driven all the way from Redlands. And I feel bad, but I got to work tonight. I haven't eaten, and it's 6:30-something, and everyone's leaving. And I just said, Bruce, I told you 3 o'clock, and I'll see you later.
Invite him to go to dinner with you?
Talk to him for 10 minutes, and then send him back to Redlands.
You didn't invite him to go to dinner?
No, I feel bad for Bruce. I do.
Why didn't you?
Because I told him six times yesterday, 3 o'clock. He shows up after 6:30. He doesn't call. He just shows up after 6:30.
Maybe.
And now I'm going home to take a shower and eat. And,
but maybe his plan was to eat with you. Maybe that was his thing.
He didn't indicate that at all, and that wasn't his thing.
Maybe assertion is not his highest suit. Maybe that's really what he wanted to do.
Don't show up 3.5 hours after you expect people are going home.
I've had anal sex and I passed out a couple times.
Well, he didn't pass out this time.
Oh.
All right.
Good time.
I know you're a nice guy, but my thing is like, look, tough love.
Yeah, I know that's what you were thinking. Like, you're going to punish him for not showing up on
that. No, I was just thinking, I'm going home. I don't want to deal with the guy.
All right, well, that's different. That's honest enough.
Yeah,
I'm not, he should have asked you, "Can I have dinner with you?" And you would have said no.
No, I don't have it. But what I mean is, I don't have an ounce of guilt because I told the guy's 3.5 hours late, and I told him 3 times, "Be there at 3."
I suspect he wanted to have dinner with you, and that he didn't. He was because you're so abusive. He'd have to.
I sent him packing.
Yeah.
Viva.
Hi, what's up?
You're 17.
Yeah, really quick, Adam. I was sitting like 3 seats away from you at the Weenie Roast last night.
No way.
Yeah, I loved your black cowboy hat.
I was sitting 3 seats away from him.
Really?
Yeah.
No, you weren't.
Well,
bro.
10 seats
see
away.
You.
We were in the same row.
Did you see me rocking?
Yeah, I wanted to come over and say hi, but you looked like you were really into it, and I didn't want to bother you.
Into it, it translated means loaded.
Yeah.
Seemed like you were really wasted.
Felt the music in my veins, brother.
Yeah,
that too. Yeah. Yeah. Well. Thanks, Viva.
Yeah.
Was that it?
No.
Oh.
So here's my problem. I'm 17, just graduated from high school, been with my boyfriend for like two years, and we live in the L.A. area, and I'm going away to college across the country.
Where are you going?
Cornell. Yeah.
Right. Adam and I spent time in Ithaca. Remember that?
Yeah, good times.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
No.
No, it's nice, yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
And the problem is that my boyfriend, all through high school, I mean, we've been really different. He's more athletic, I'm more studious, and so he doesn't really have any plans. He was just going to stay here and go to junior college or whatever.
Good time.
And I was looking for, I mean, we've been together for a while. I think it's time for our relationship to end.
Yeah, it's game over. Yeah, it's over.
I was thinking, okay, this is going to be my out. I'm going to say, I can't handle the distance. But I tell him where I'm going, and he smiles, and he's like, oh, great, I've been wanting to get away. Why don't I come with you, and I can get a job out there, and we can stay together?
No.
And I don't know what to say to him because I don't want to hurt his feelings.
Yeah, it's all right. He has staked his claim. You've made your case, and he's staked his claim, and it's not working. You've got to be more assertive. You've got to say, you know, I'm going to college. I want to start anew.
No.
I'm not ready for a relationship now.
No, I think some BS. When you, by the way, where was he going to go? Valley College or Pierce or one of those
other dumps
with the fence around it?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's not going anywhere, believe you me.
No.
Now, let me tell you a few things. Is this guy's a jock?
Yes.
Is a Valley jock kind of guy?
Yeah.
He's good looking?
Yeah.
Because you're not going to find any of those guys at Cornell.
No, I know.
Like soft Jewish guys covered with hair.
Well, Bill Maher went to Cornell.
Yeah, Bill Maher's the best looking guy to leave Cornell.
Wow.
Yeah, you're going to find a lot of guys with moles on their back. So you may be missing him, too.
Yeah.
Here's what I say. Let's not ruin the summer.
Yeah.
Hang out. She's done, though.
She's done, you can tell.
You're done already?
Yeah, I'm leaving in like a month because I'm going to do some summer stuff there. And I want to get acclimated to the area, you know?
Yeah. Well, look, if you want to avoid something like really a real blowout barn burner, you can just kind of taper it down. Like if it was the volume of a radio, it's like you clicked it down a notch.
What do guys do when they do that?
Every other day, you click it down one notch. And then you go to Cornell. You tell them, look, let me check out the lay of the land. And then you tell them from Cornell, look, this is not going to work.
That's a good angle. That's a cowardly
right?
way to go,
Thank
but I
you.
Think it's a good
it's
way
be-
to go.
Beautiful.
Which is you get out there first, let some distance develop, and then cut it off. That's all right.
Okay.
But I do think Adam is right. The problem when you start turning the volume down to a 17-year-old male, are you kidding? That's when they start stalking.
Mm.
Right?
Mm. All right. Well, oh, my God. Talk about different worlds. He's stuck in the valley. She's going to Cornell. Mm-hmm. Right, we're going to take a little break. When we come back, we'll speak to Josh, 14. For a couple of months, he noticed that he has had bad body odor. Wants to know what's up with that after this.
Loveline. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Tracy Lords, and you're listening to Loveline.
I'm Adam Carolla. It's Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. I'm pointing to Ann because she's going to tell me what guests we have upcoming in the next few weeks.
Well, in the next few weeks, this week we have TSOL, the band. As well as Karen Manning from Crazy Beautiful.
Did you almost burp, Ann?
Is that a belch there, Ann?
I think she swallowed down a burp.
All right. So. Josh?
Oh, hi.
You're 14. What's up?
I just wanted to say that we all know that Adam is hilarious and Drew, you're brilliant, but I want to switch it around and say that Adam, you've got really good instincts, and Drew, you've got a good sense of humor.
Whatever.
Well, thank you, Josh.
Josh.
Very perceptive for a young lad of 14.
I want to know, when's David Alan Greer going to be on again?
That is a fine question. I have his home number. I could probably call him and ask him if he wanted to come up, and he'd probably come up.
Oh, sure.
I'll never do that, though. No. But, soon.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, very funny guy.
Yeah.
So what's up?
For the last, couple of months, I've been noticing some bad body odor. And, I mean, I, shower regularly. I have good hygiene and stuff. But
yeah. You're becoming a man.
Yeah.
That's what that is.
Yeah.
Starting to stink.
Yeah, you're right about at that age where that starts
14,
to happen. You got to start taking care of that. You got to learn how to manage that. Yeah, no, you got to shower more frequently. Use deodorants.
What? What was that last word?
I know, he has to, and then I know for you that's a stretch.
Are you using deodorant?
Yeah, I'm using deodorant. And I'm showering every day.
After spray, what are the aftershaves and stuff? Cologne.
Yeah, do what I do. You just mask it with some cologne you got somewhere at some golf tournament or something. Some guys got the funk.
Yeah.
You may be one of those guys. What's your nationality?
I'm white. I'm an Irish.
Aha, another Mick. I knew it. Yeah, Mick's not normally it's not a stinky race, the Mick's, Drew. But fine. Maybe you got it.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, well, just pile on the deodorant.
Yeah, it might also be something else. My butt, it's as big as me.
Nice.
No, I'm just kidding.
Do you have anything weird about your diet?
No, not really. I mean, nothing weird.
Okay.
That's just, I think that's as your gateway into manhood.
I think so.
I mean, people always talk about pubic hair and voice change and, putting on muscle and all that, but you start stinking. You don't meet any stinky kids. Stinky kid means kid crapped on himself.
That's right.
You don't meet any 9-year-old that's got some funky BO going.
Speaking of that, we were out at this concert and a large group of people, hotter than hell day.
Yeah.
There's some funk going on. People were coming up to us and stuff. Did you get some of that?
Yeah, got a little.
Some of the women too. It kind of surprised me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's like, hey, whoa.
Well, you're not drinking enough beer. You start drinking, you don't sweat. Pardon the pun. Those kind of details, you miss out the little nuances of life.
Wow, I mean, it was like, whew.
Yeah.
I'm not sensitive to that stuff.
Where was the smell coming from on the ladies? Upstairs.
No, upstairs. Yeah. Upstairs.
Oh, okay, Mark. Mark?
Yeah.
You're 14. What's up?
All right. Well, basically, I've known this girl for about 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And, I started a band with her. And, I go over to her house about twice a week.
What kind of band?
A rock band.
How old is she?
She's 15.
Okay. What's the question?
What's the name of the band? That's the question.
We haven't come up with a name yet.
Oh, okay. All right, very good. So, you guys are in the band together.
Yeah, and her boyfriend graduated, and he's going to Europe for the whole summer.
Mm-hmm.
So, I wanted to make a move.
Her boyfriend graduated what? High school?
High school. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The older guy.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. And.
And I wanted to know how to go about doing that.
How much in love with him do you think she is?
Well, I think she doesn't really like him anymore because, he went to Europe for the whole summer.
So she's mad at him for leaving.
Yeah.
Mm, that's good.
Hmm.
A little rebound action here.
Sometimes, though, that makes them, they sort of harbor something. They're going to show him until they get back.
Show him what?
By going out with someone else.
Yeah. So be it.
But then when they get back, that's what they're doing it for.
Well, he's 14. That's a million years away, the end of the summer. What, Mark?
He's going to college.
Ooh, ask her out to a movie or something. Just go do something with her by herself. That's all you got to do.
Hey, you guys are in a band together. This is going to be a layup.
Maybe go to a concert together or something.
Look, when you're in a band and there's females in it, you get to nail everybody.
Yeah.
I mean,
the idea.
Yeah. Fleetwood Mac or the Mamas and the
that
Papas.
That was the idea.
Yeah, it happens every time. Don't you watch those behind the music things? Everyone has sex with everybody.
Drug, sex, and rock and roll.
Yeah, but the some hot lead singer, some Stevie Nicks type or Deborah Harry or
Michelle,
something like that.
Michelle Phillips.
Michelle Phillips, beautiful blonde, young women. They bang the toothless bass player.
Yeah.
So it's a good reason to let a chick in your band. But you're fine. Just ask her out.
All right.
All right.
And I had one more thing.
Uh-huh.
You know how you call Adam when you get a, you know, a Woody in public, you call it putting it up? Well, me and my friends, we call it slapping it up.
Nice. All right. Yeah. Noted. Do we call it putting it up?
Yeah.
Maybe I missed out on that.
Yeah.
Are people calling it putting it up?
When you're talking about bringing it up to try to get it to go down.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Pressing it against your belly.
I heard you pitching a tent, is what you've said.
Right. Yeah. Right. That's a common one.
Yeah.
Paul?
Hello.
You're 15.
Yeah. I got some itching down under.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't... about 2 weeks ago, I was having intercourse with my girlfriend.
Do you have a digital camera?
Huh?
Do you have a digital camera?
No, I don't.
God.
No.
I really want to try this. You know what I mean? If somebody has a rash, they want me to look at it. Digital camera, email, I'll look at it.
Drew, what about underage guys filming their genitalia and then sending it via the computer to you? Don't you think that could get you into some hot water?
Oh, man.
Now, nobody else will see it but me. And it will be disposed of after that.
Sorry, man. I don't have that kind of equipment on my computer.
Yeah. All right, Drew, please.
All right.
Yeah. Besides exposing myself on the internet, I don't want people to get it, you know, because they'll expose me.
Well, they'll know exactly who it's. They'll recognize your Johnson, of course, and say, oh, there's Paul Johnson. We got.
Hold on. Isn't he a news guy for some other radio station, Paul Johnson? All right. So anyway, Paul, you don't know what this is, but you had intercourse, right?
Yes. And okay. Then I'm feeling around because I think, well, it's going to go away soon.
You're what? You're feeling
the bumps. I'm feeling around.
You're what?
Feeling around. Wait, what kind of accent? What are you?
Me?
Wait, what is your ethnicity?
Me? I'm black.
Oh, you're black. All right. Yeah. Hey, that's a weird... See, once in a while, there's a couple different kinds of, like, black dialects that felling around. Where's that come from? I don't know that one.
Baltimore, I guess.
Oh, okay. So you say you're feeling around.
Yeah, and I find this bump that's under the skin. It's really big, and I don't know what it is. I want to get checked out by a doctor.
Yeah, well, that'd be the right thing to do. The bumps are sort of in your groin.
Yeah, and yeah. It's like I got white dots, and then I got this bump that's right next. It's like in the pubic hair, I don't know what it is.
All right, the bumps are swollen lymph glands. And the swollen lymph glands are a reaction to the rash. Mm-hmm. And rashes that are itchy that cause swollen lymph glands are typically herpes.
Hey, Anderson, you got any? You got a shaggy on a cart somewhere? You got a shaggy drop?
We got that big long drop of him describing what it's like to be on the show.
But listen to who we're talking to, Paul?
Yeah.
Listen to Paul and listen to Shaggy. I think there's
except Shaggy doesn't really talk the way you know what I mean.
But just
Shaggy talks like Sir Walter Raleigh when he's speaking normally.
I don't know. Just well, listen to some Shaggy. I'm going to compare it to Paul here.
Hi, this is Shaggy, Mr. Lover Love up front and personal. You're listening to Love Line with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Got it going on up close and personal.
Fiddling around.
I understand everything he says, though. You know what I'm saying?
But there was a little Shaggy vibe to Paul.
Yeah.
All right. Where are we going? Richard?
Yeah?
You're 21?
Yeah. My question is, this question, comment, whatnot. You guys run a great show. Dr. Drew, you're freaking awesome. Adam Carolla, you're crazy.
Great.
I'm shooting methamphetamines into my jugular vein.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why I do it...
You've used everything else up.
No, not at all. It's because it's a high that I've never experienced before.
So you get it more rapidly that way.
I get the full everything in the syringe instead of doing my, take it for instance, my arm vein. It distributes throughout your body.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't, but you can get a higher volume more rapidly right to your heart and then up into your head. So.
Right, and... In a way, I'm scared, because I know I'm getting an aneurysm, heart attack, or a stroke, basically with all the chemicals going to my head.
Well, it's not a lot different than in the arm. I mean, the arm vein, you know, goes right into the same area. It's just a slightly increased volume, and it's not quite as direct a route. And again, it's more, I suspect, a function of the volume per unit time that you can inject. The arm veins can only take so much. You got to kind of shoot it in slowly, right? Well, yeah. Neck vein, it's the caliber as such.
You
really
how does it work? I mean, is this not a big enough canal in the arm? I mean, if you squeeze too hard,
it'll blow the
plunger,
vein. Blow the vein. Yeah.
Yeah, like I can only put like maybe 15 units into my neck. I can throw 30 units into my arm.
The other way around, you mean?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You're not going to the external jugular, right? You're going to the internal jugular, the deep one in the vein in the neck, right?
Right. The one on my right side.
Not the one you can see though.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
go straight to the brain.
Yeah. Well, the issues are here. There's multiple issues. One is you can shoot it into the artery, and then you got a big problem that it can blow. You can die very quickly with that. Secondly, the fact that you've come to this point with your addiction suggests how profound the addiction is, and really you're going. This is a disease. This is how you die from this thing. It progresses and progresses. The risks you take, the consequences that mount, become worse and worse. And now you're on your road to near death kinds of risk taking. So I suggest you do something about this before something like that, like such as your death, does happen.
All right. Was that your idea of ramping it up?
I was trying. I have a million things I wanted to say.
I know. Well, that's why I'd like to talk to Richard for a couple minutes when we return.
Loveline, we'll be right back. Call on the 1-800-LOVE-191.
Yeah, everybody. Loveline. Who's that, Blink? Yeah, they sounded good last night. I went and visited the Blink in their trailer.
So did I.
Said hi to everybody. That was enjoyable. And
did you see Sky?
Yeah, saw Sky, old friend of ours that ended up marrying Mark from Blink. So she did pretty good. Met Sky's parents.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, seemed nice. What
her
the hell else?
Is her dad a dentist or something, you tell me?
He seemed like he did something normal. Yeah. I don't know what it was. Richard?
Yeah, and what Drew was saying, I pray every day, every time it does kill me.
Oh.
Yeah, that's the problem here, is that you're sort of... You wouldn't feel like that if you weren't so profoundly addictive, I suspect.
I'm putting him on hold because he used the S word.
You did?
Yeah. He said, I pray every day that when I do S like that, it kills me.
Well, didn't hear it.
You know why? Because he used it in a nice context.
Yeah, so gentle.
He wove it poetically. Yeah. Into a statement, whereas most of the time we get the people going, yeah, I was effing my girlfriend.
Right.
Yeah. So, I'm getting back now. So, you... Right. Well, that's all right. Well, this meth is a horrible, horrible drug.
Yeah. What I'm wondering is why you don't consider treatment.
Actually, I had 18 months.
You had 18 months of sobriety. When did that
18.
End? When did that end?
It ended February 23rd.
Of this year, of 2001.
Right. 1 year before my 18th month.
And was meth the drug always?
Yes.
Okay. Why not get back on the horse a little bit? You can. You know you can do it. You know what needs to be done. Go ahead.
The word never is freaks me out.
Never what?
Never doing meth again.
Right. I mean, I have to do it day by day. Even a couple hours right now is freaking me out.
Yeah.
I know what I need to do. I own up to it. I'm a junkie. I'm an addict. I mean,
the biology is what's freaking you out. The biology of being without this thing that you crave so profoundly. And that settles down with time, as I'm sure you remember, too.
Yes.
And you're just in the grips of a biological circumstance. And if you give that biology a chance to quiet down, things can look a lot different. And you know what the program's about. You know what you need to do. You know you can do it. I look real carefully at what it was that was going on when you relapsed. Was it were you not participating thoroughly in the program? Were you depressed? Does that need to be dealt with? Certainly with this drug. Just the depletion of the chemicals in your brain caused some real serious depression. Did you not care anymore? Was there a relationship that triggered this off? And this time, don't think, oh my God, recovery doesn't work because I relapse. Get back into the program, look at what happened last time, and do it a little bit more thoroughly.
All right. Good luck, Richard. George?
Yes.
You're 27?
Yes.
You Asian?
No.
No. Wow, you had the quick answer. Yes. Yes.
What's up, George?
Hi.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't even realize that in the year.
Hey.
What's up? How are you guys doing?
Good. Hi.
Okay. I'm an American.
How are you?
All right.
I'm an American. I'm an American. I'm not Asian.
White American for Adam.
Hey.
So he knows.
Hey.
Okay. I'm a white American, mixed European background, and I'm dating an Asian woman.
Good times.
Yeah. She's from China. She's 24. I'm 27.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that everything has been going very good, and we're both very interested in having a serious relationship with each other in the future. We've been dating about 5 months, and the last couple months we've been intimate a few times. The only problem is that the only position she will have is the
rickshaw
position.
Oh.
Well, what do you mean it's the only thing she'll have?
It's the only position she's willing to have sexual intercourse.
You discussed this with her, and what does she say?
She says that it's shameful, any other position.
Shameful? Shaming? Shameful. Ooh, what would the family say?
Nice.
Yeah. She's come from China only 4 years ago. I'm her first American boyfriend. She had one Chinese boyfriend only for about 4 years, and that's mm-hmm. the only method that they use was missionary. And she thinks that maybe Americans do other things differently, but she didn't think that it was correct.
Ooh. Man.
Shameful.
Shameful.
So my question is there a way that I can get her to maybe experiment a little bit and try just a different position or two?
Well, you're going to have to. Is she? Well, I got a few questions.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like Asian women exclusively?
Only recently do I think that's true.
Who's number one?
You like Minka?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
Minka, number one Asian big boob queen?
No.
I see. Interesting. Claims to like Asians, yet does not like the number one Asian big boob queen by
number
the name
one?
Of number
Asian
one
Asian big boob queen.
Truthfully, I don't that's even right. know who she is.
Oh, now you're making the Buddha cry.
Okay.
With that kind of talk. Do you like the Asian culture?
Yes, it's pretty nice.
Are you? Have you been there?
No.
Do you read books on it?
No, I've worked amongst Asian people.
Right, you into forms of martial arts and that kind of stuff? You watch?
No,
not one of those guys.
No.
Okay, I'm just trying to get a feel here
for George.
And it's not all just about Asian women, but lately you dig the Asian ladies,
right? But this is the only Asian girlfriend I've had, and I'm not interested in any other one. I actually love her a lot, and I really make a life with her. But I'm afraid that I might be bored down the road if this is the way it is, and she said it's going to be this way until she's 70, because we discussed it one night for a couple hours, you know, lightly laughing about it, but she would come back and be serious. And
what's going to happen when she's 70?
I don't know.
Break it out.
He gets to hit her doggy. It's in her 70th birthday. It's going to be great.
Here's my concern about this, George. Let's say you overcome her in a moment of passion, and you spin her around and get what you want.
Yeah.
And she finds it a miserable, shaming, unpleasant, painful experience.
Mm.
What will you have accomplished? How is that going to somehow gratify you?
Not going to work too well.
Yeah, unless she wants, I would think, it'd be unless she really is into it and wants to do it and is with you, what the hell? What are you doing?
Do you think there's a way, though, that a person that has this mindset, do you think they would ever change on their own?
Is there
a way that I can get them to gently change or not? Or is that something that may not happen?
Well, here's what I think,
George. It's going to take time if it does.
I don't think you're going to change her in the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying you need to nail her in the living room. No. I'm saying that the more she becomes Americanized, the more she falls in love with you, the more your sort of cultures interbreed and mingle, the more she will loosen up in the bedroom. Don't you agree with that, Drew? This is an overall thing.
Yeah,
you know, she's new to this country, relatively new.
Yeah.
And she still, you know, sort of goes by the old ways.
I agree.
The more you get her into weed and booze and bad music, the more she'll loosen up in the bedroom. Started having her watch like that mindless sitcoms and stuff like that. Really, see if you can turn her brain to mush. Then you hit her from every angle.
Yeah,
that will take a long time.
I'm curious about Dr. Drew's opinion on this particular. Does he ever deal with anyone that absolutely under no circumstances, when it's basically a psychological thing or nature that won't change forever?
Yes, that definitely happens. That definitely happens.
Okay, but.
But it in this case, though, it's not as though you have someone who is entrenched in a particular point of view and nothing has changed in their life and that's the way they're going to be. This is someone who's changed cultures, who's changing a having their first relationship with a Caucasian. I mean, a lot of things changing in her life, which is Adam is saying, may lead to other changes in attitudes about things such as her sexuality. May not.
Well,
but it may.
Okay, but I really don't think it's going to be all that much different than language, almost. Like how
I understand what you're saying.
How that, much it'll be? It'll depend. But as she becomes more Americanized and becomes more acclimated and gets more used to you,
I'm trusting.
I think things will. Maybe. I think things will work out.
Yeah. Maybe there's a profound religious connection with this, and it will never change.
No.
What? What's the matter?
It's not a religious.
What were we going to say?
She's just. I was just picturing him and, you know, sort of being uptight about getting her to do that. I don't know. Maybe he's freaking her out. George, do you get any oral sex?
No.
No, you sent her on the first. Send her on the first Rick.
That's something that's also.
Send her on the first junk back to Taipei.
I'm willing to actually give that up if positions would be.
Look, you trade her BJs for doggy.
Yeah, I don't know.
You might as well sell your soul to the devil. Well, I didn't know it was this bad with the oral sex.
No, sorry, Adam. Are you okay? Yeah, I know this troubles you greatly.
Mental note, cancel trip to China. Jesus Christ.
Listen,
listen, all you screwballs. You're getting laid. You're in or you're out with the getting laid nonsense. You might as well give the BJ and do it in every position. What the hell? Oh, man. Yeah, I like some of the things it's done to the women over there, you know, shaming them all the time. It's great. It's like, Hop Sing, yeah, another cold one. And they run. You know, that's good. But then you get in the bedroom, it's no good.
Yeah, the shaming goes both ways, as it were.
Yeah, bad times. Nick?
Yeah.
You're 14.
Yeah.
What's up?
I want to know if I can get any diseases from, like, licking my girlfriend's toes.
Get an athlete's tongue.
It depends where she's been walking. I just hope you clean her feet before you do this, yes?
Oh, yeah, she cleans her feet and everything, but like...
Yeah, you need, like, ritualistic cleaning. You need, like, real serious cleaning.
Yeah, I'm very serious.
Glutaraldehyde.
What?
Nick?
Yeah?
What are you doing to her feet? You licking?
Yeah, just, like, mostly toe sucking.
Toe sucking. Does she enjoy it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She does?
She tolerates it.
Yeah.
She tolerates it, right?
Whose idea is it to do it?
Mine.
Yeah. Because even the both ours answers means Nick. So when Nick says me, it's really.
Yeah.
It's 1,000% Nick now.
Do you have any other weird preferences or dislikes?
No.
Christ, at 14, this is, you're way down the road to hell. I mean, believe me, Nick, this is not going to get better. You're going to be you know these guys you hear about on the news that were caught stealing women's shoes at bus stops and stuff? Like, yeah, that's going to be you.
No.
Are you having intercourse with her?
No, I'm a virgin.
You're just licking feet.
Sure.
Are you religious?
Yeah, sort of.
What does that do for you, just out of curiosity?
I don't know.
But sex, do you masturbate to it?
No.
No?
Are there other parts of her body that you like?
Well, just the normal. Anything weird.
Are there parts you don't like?
No.
Are things you're afraid to touch or get near, that kind of thing?
No.
What are you doing with this girl?
I don't know. We just hang out a lot. She listens to my band play and stuff.
And do you make out with her?
Yeah.
You kiss her with your tongue?
Yeah, occasionally.
Occasionally. But yet you're sucking on the feet.
Yeah.
And what about the boobs? You grab those?
No, not much.
Why not?
I don't know.
Not into that?
No, not really.
More into the feet?
Yeah.
What else are you into? I mean, not on her, just in general.
Well, yeah, but...
No, in general, what are you into?
I don't know, her.
You mean like kind of sports, that kind of thing? What are you talking about?
In general.
I'm more musical.
Music.
What kind of music?
Punk.
Punk music. Mm-hmm. A lot of piercing and leather?
What?
What do you look like? You got a lot of piercings and tats and stuff?
Yeah, I have a few tattoos.
14.
14? Really?
Yeah, I have a couple, and then I have, like, my tongue's pierced.
Oh, 14.
What happened to you? Something happened?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Oh, come on.
Come on.
I don't think so.
Nothing? Where's Daddy?
He's at home.
Where's Mom?
She's at home, too.
They never were kind of aggressive with each other or you?
No.
Your mom never stepped on you?
No.
No, it had to be.
There's something up. Hello?
Yeah, he hung up.
Oh.
Yeah.
I guess...
Either of those bogus. You know what I mean? Because it wasn't fitting. It wasn't fitting together.
You pansy!
Or he didn't want to tell us about these things.
Yeah, well, did you believe the couple of tats and a tongue piercing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You believe that part, right?
Yeah, well, he either is telling a good story and just couldn't complete it, didn't know how to go all the way through.
Right.
Or he didn't want to tell us what really happened.
Yeah, seems like
it wasn't fitting. It didn't fit.
Getting a little hot in the kitchen.
Yeah,
listen, all you screwballs. We will make it, if you're going to lie, make sure things fit.
Yeah.
Okay. Good times. Jay?
Yeah?
See, Drew, sometimes you get on me and people get on me for abusing the callers, but what about every 50th one that's a bogus call? Aren't you glad I abuse them in advance?
It's worth it. All those other 49 that you abuse is worth it.
That's right. Think about it. I always feel good. I always feel satisfied. I would say I call a guy a retard and a screwball. Great. Jay?
Yeah.
You're 18?
Uh-huh.
What's going on?
I was wondering if there's any known like side effects of taking Special K and if it shows up on drug tests.
It can, although it's not routinely screened for, and it's addictive. And we,
really?
Yeah, and I can only tell you, I have noticed mood disturbances and some subtle personality changes in people that do a lot of it. But,
like what?
Well, like we're using for many months, like two, three times a week. Somebody who's done it 3 or 4 times, no, I don't think it's going to hurt anybody in that way, although it is a general anesthetic and does have significant risks associated with it being administered at all.
Is it the one where you take too much and you just go into cardiac arrest or
could,
something?
You could. I misspoke. It's not a general anesthetic. It's what's called a dissociative anesthetic. And it's, you know, it's an anesthetic. If I personally,
you know, like, how much of it takes, like how much to kill you, like, that you don't want to take more than that?
No, it's,
you know what I'm saying?
There's no such number.
General.
I mean, I'm sure there's a number that after which everyone would be killed, but,
Well, I was talking to Bruce about this last night. Special K, GHB, is that the same thing?
Two different things.
Maybe I was talking about GHB.
Yeah, GHB is
that's
a little different.
Muscle relaxant.
GHB, you take like, you know, one capful and you're
right.
Flying high. And
that's
you take
GHB.
Three and you're dead.
Right, exactly. That's GHB. GHB
right.
is very hard to dose.
Right. So we don't know what, we don't know about Special K.
In terms of that kind of problem, that's not the big problem with it.
So what's the big difference between GHB and ketamine as far as the high?
Ketamine is out-of-body kind of experience. It's dissociative. You like go, you know, traveling through space without really being there. GHB is like alcohol. You're intoxicated. You're.
I'll go for that K. Sign me up for the K, Drew. Where do you get that stuff?
I don't know.
Who makes it?
It's an anesthetic. It's been around for a long time. It's used for animals, used for adolescents sometimes.
Mm-hmm. It's a pharmaceutical? Is that mm-hmm. what people mm-hmm. make in their garage?
It's pharmaceutical. I don't know where they get it. I don't know how they administer it either. I don't know if they snort it or take pills. I don't know what they do.
Is powder form or
honestly,
pill form?
I don't know how they take it. Want to ask him? Ask him. Let's find out.
Where was he?
Three. Jay?
Hello?
Hey, Jay?
Yeah.
How are you taking it?
You can either inject it or you cook it and snort it.
Snort it. Cook it into a powder?
Yeah.
So they just
cook
a liquid.
It, cook
so.
It from a liquid into
yeah.
a powder?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And, like, there's different people that make it. Like, some of the stuff I got was Fort Dodge, I think. Is like, I don't know if they make other, like, medicines or whatever.
Yeah, it's
like,
so far.
Some people get it from Mexico and smuggle it across the border and whatnot.
It's a dangerous drug. It's a dangerous drug.
Hey, listen. All you guys that are, you know, 15, 16, 17, 18, and you're cooking up stuff, come on, guys. Get yourself a goddamn six-pack of Mickey's and go to the park.
I've never seen Special K.
You're cooking stuff up. You're injecting stuff into your neck. You're snorting stuff.
Well, that's addiction.
You're not supposed to do that until you're, you know, 19 or 20.
Whatever age, it's addiction. I've never seen Special K used by a non-addict, in my experience.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I'd like to try that one, though.
Well, that might
Gary?
Bring me to...
Be the first one.
No, it might make me conclude what I've always suspected.
Drew thinks I'm an addict just because I can, you know, I'm what you call a heavyweight. You know what I worked out last night? I was explaining to somebody today how to maintain the buzz. It's taken me damn near 20 years to really work that out. You know what I'm saying?
Without going too far, without being one of the people that was vomiting and peeing themselves in the bushes there?
Well, think about it. I mean, it's always funny when, you know, I assume that everyone has heaved because of alcohol at least 25 times. I'm always amazed when guys like Drew tell me, yeah, they did it twice or something, and then Anne has a shocked look on her face when I said it. I've heaved from booze 50 times in my life. And that's a conservative estimate. I probably didn't have to heave all 50 times. I probably could only heave like 28, 30 times. But there are times when I was close to heaving and I just went, screw it, I'm going to heave, I'm going to bed. But the point is it takes a while. Now yesterday we were at the Weenie Roast. It was going, you know, it's an 8-hour affair. You got to figure out how to work that buzz. Because you got to get a nice buzz on to really enjoy yourself and tilt a few beers and all that kind of stuff. But you don't want to peak at 2:30 and be, you know, up chucking in the shuttle bus on the way to Irvine Meadows. The other thing you'd hate to do is you'd hate to be totally sober at like 9 o'clock or when Jane's Addiction is out on stage. What do you do? Well, this takes years.
Skills.
It's taking me skills. It's a subtle art form. It's like origami.
It's good that we're taking lots of time on the radio to help to help people negotiate that skill. It's nice.
Well, I'm sending an important message to the kids, I used to, you know, when I was 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, I would just, you know, I'd just keep drinking. You know, like, I'd be totally wasted, and some guy would ask me if I wanted a shot, and I'd say, yeah, bring it on, and where's the next one? And then end up heaving.
Don't you think that some of that, though, was driven by the fact that you had sort of a social anxiety problem? That you were trying to deal with these very anxiety-provoking intense social situations, and you were still awake. You know what I'm saying?
No. What are you talking about? Anxiety-provoking social situations? I was at a party.
I think a lot of binge drinking is sort of social anxiety.
Really?
Maybe not for you, but I think a lot of people. It's peer pressure. You go, yeah, bring it on. I want to be cool and drink. And the other is, this situation is, you know, overwhelming. I've got to just keep going.
Well, I mean, you know, in Tijuana, now, getting loaded at a strip club.
But now you're
anxiety.
Now you're out of role
about that.
You're, you know, you've got, you know what I mean? You can negotiate these things more easily without being completely intoxicated.
Who was I? Rob Goldman back then?
Yeah. Ron, I think it was.
Right.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Is that the guy O.J. killed? Well, there's Ron Goldman. Oh, wait, that was his dad?
There we go.
This out. All right, the point is you learn how. No, yeah. It was not an anxiety riddled situation. I was just stupid. Now I work it out. Have a beer every 25 minutes. You maintain a nice buzz throughout the day.
All right,
had a good time.
Time for a break.
When we come back, we'll speak to Chris, who's 31. She likes her toes to be sucked. Why did we bash that last caller after this?
Hello? Who's this?
This is Loveline.
1-800-LOVE-191. Loveline will be right back.
Hi, this is Dexter
and Noodles
from The Offspring, and you're listening to Loveline with that asshole Adam Carolla and that guy that's full of himself, thinks he always knows what he's talking about, Dr. Drew.
I hate that guy.
I could do better than that guy.
Oh, speaking of assholes.
Hey, Drew, into the mic, please.
Your asshole is spoken. Oh,
I had a little burnt offering go Drew's way. That's bad, right, Drew? I let a great fart go during the break.
Just laughing like a maniac.
I love a good fart.
Yeah.
That was a rare one for me, you know?
Yeah,
interesting smell, too. Not like the others.
Yeah,
very special.
Yeah, sort of.
I should label that one. Give it a name. You know, like pitchers have their different pitches, screwball, curveball, slider. That was different. It was a little bit of a slider. Yeah, changeup?
Slider.
Okay, whatever. Got you.
Mud slider.
True whiffed, I'll tell you that. Where are we going now? Yeah. Loveline, everybody. 1-800-LOVE-191. Yep. Christy?
Oh,
please. You flatter me. Christy, you're 31. What's up?
Hi.
Hey.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yep. Yes.
Hi, I'm calling just regarding the call before last about the guy who called in about sucking his girlfriend's toes.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder why you figure that is so extreme or abnormal.
We didn't.
No, we didn't.
That's
what we sounded like.
No, what we did, what well, we didn't.
Well, we went straight from what do you have pierced to it, does your father, you know, stay at home or...
No, here's the thing. He sounded frightened of her. He wouldn't touch her except on her feet. And he was pierced and tattooed at 14.
Well, that's pretty normal.
Piercing and tattooed at 14, that's illegal.
At 14.
You can't do that. That piercing and institutions won't do that because it is illegal. And so he's obviously got...
Are you sure that 14-year-olds these days don't find their way around that?
Oh, they do. But the ones that do have some, you know, because we talk to them all the time, we can tell you that there's always something going on, usually some aggression in the family system. Mom's beating, dad's beating up mom, or the kids are being handled aggressively.
Yeah, the guy, he was in a...
Not just culturally, like across the line, just kind of something
well,
to do as far as peers.
We're rarely wrong on that one.
You're rarely wrong. Okay.
Listen, Screwball.
I was a little disturbed in that, you know, that...
When did your dad rape you?
What's that?
Yeah.
I might have been abnormal if I had, in fact, enjoyed my toes being cut.
No, nothing. We're not. Wait. Cool. Wait. Did we use the word abnormal?
Well, that's the way we made it seem.
Kind of. I mean, you implied that there was something probably a little bit.
No.
Hold on. Drew, quiet down. Shut Drew's mic off. I'm tired of him trying to defend us. Christy, this is Adam, the smarter of the two speaking. I'm fine. Thank you. Fine. And you?
I'm great.
Great. We did label the guy as a nut job, and that he had problems, and that he was abnormal.
And I felt
it's very true.
For young listeners who might have thought that you know should not deter people from exploring, especially things that are that.
No, we should. There should be more deterring people from doing exploration. There really should be. People are doing too much exploring.
A woman's feet when kept
need to be shut down. Well, look, I don't mind the licking of the feet.
I don't either.
The problem is that was the only thing he was doing, and you show me a 14...
I don't know that you guys really asked him clearly. I think you gave him kind of a very clear wall to walk into when you asked him that question.
What happened to your phone, Christy? Listen, your phone line is too bad, so just please hang on and listen while I yell at you without you being able to respond. You show me a 14-year-old male who is weaving past the boobs to get to the toes, and I'm going to show you guys got some issues. I'm not saying the guy's a homicidal maniac. I'm not saying sucking toes in and of themselves is a bad thing or makes something wrong with you. But this guy had issues.
Now you take it also, he's pierced and tattooed at 14. I mean, that takes some energy to do that, man. You've got to have energy. And something wrong with the parents.
And he had a weird vibe to him. And when I was asking him about, do you make out with her? And he was like a little unclear on that.
Yeah.
What about the boobs? He was unclear on that.
No, he was clear. No.
He didn't want that.
No.
He wanted the feet. I'm telling you, the guy has energy and issues. That's what we were getting to. Sucking on toes, fine. Not that dude. He had a bunch of energy going on.
Yeah.
And listen, all you free spirits out there, whatever weird actions you're into, that's the person you are.
Yeah, it's fine.
It doesn't. No, it's not fine.
No, it's fine. But
no,
it's not. But don't deny that it comes from somewhere.
It doesn't exist in a bubble.
Right, it comes from something.
Right.
And that's fine, too. But don't pretend
that
it doesn't.
I'd like to do away with that, personally. Casey?
Yeah.
You're 23?
Casey, hang on one second. This is back what I was saying before. We're not telling anybody how to behave.
No way.
But we're being driven crazy by the people like Christy who don't look at what really happens that make people behave in certain ways.
Look at what motivates it.
Yeah.
That's right. Thank you. Go ahead, Casey.
Yeah, my question is to Drew. First of all, Adam, you rock. Drew, you rock.
Thank you.
Casey, what's up?
I've been suffering from depression for a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
It's just getting really bad in the past, like, few years.
You've been treated?
I went in for treatment a few times, and I just pretty much gave up on the whole idea.
How many times did you go for treatment?
Well, it pretty much all started when I was about 8 or 9.
Mm.
And I went in for treatment. They put me in a mental hospital there.
Okay.
That was for, they said, attempted suicide,
uh-huh.
which it was, and I was just cutting on my wrists and all that.
At age 8?
Yeah.
Mm.
And, my childhood wasn't all that great.
Evidently.
Yeah, abuse and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But, I was doing fine from the time I was 14 to about 16 or 17. I moved out to Simi Valley and from San Diego.
Yeah.
When I was 14. And, smoked a lot of pot. Drank, you know, partied, everything was cool.
Well, that may be why your depression got worse, though, right?
Well, I think, it's from the meth, when I was messing around with the meth and the cocaine.
Okay, so that sort of precipitated more depression.
Yeah, that pretty much just, spun my chemicals into, you know.
Have you been treated for your addiction?
Oh, yeah. I just called it quits because I did not want to go down any further than I was.
What do you think that happens to addicts when they stop doing their drugs? If they don't replace it with a process like recovery, they get really depressed.
Yeah.
So one of the things you could do is get in a program of recovery, and that might help support your mood a little bit.
Yeah.
That's
what
about
it's designed
that?
To do. I mean, that's one of the things you can do, Casey. You can do that.
Go to CAAA?
Yeah, go to NA. Really, you were a meth addict.
Yeah, I tried that stuff, and I don't know. They're just a bunch of dry drunks.
Did you get a sponsor?
Well, I was going to, and I just dropped out. And never.
All right, you haven't done any recovery if you haven't worked with a sponsor. Yeah. Okay, so you haven't...
The speed, I mean, all I do now is drink because I...
There we go. Well, yeah. Your mood, there's no way your mood's going to go anywhere until you get the addiction treated.
Hey, Casey?
Yeah.
This is Adam, the one who rocks.
Yeah.
As well as my rocking partner, Drew. Here's what I hear Drew saying, I hear you saying. On one hand, you're talking about doing a lot of work in terms of your depression, but on the other hand, you're not really doing that much work.
Right. When I tell you what you need to do, you want to take issue with that.
And Casey, this depression, it's really, you'd be better off having a leg amputated than to go through life depressed.
Oh, sure.
And the only way to get through it is a fair amount of work. I mean, you're going to have to go to work on it. And you got to be prepared to do that.
You've got to give your brain a chance to be completely substance-free. You've got to support that with a program of recovery. And then after you've managed to do that for a few months, if the mood is still through the floor, that's the time for medication. And don't expect that you go into the doctor and the medications and you walk away feeling good. You have to go back regularly for a long period of time and continue to get it monitored to get that properly dealt with.
All right. Let's talk to Emily, who's 15. Emily?
Hey. Well, my, thing I wanted to talk to you guys about was, just mainly a concern for this friend I have. She's 16, and she's just, really, really promiscuous, and I'm, really afraid for her health and also her sort of, just her self-esteem.
Well, Christy would have us believe that she's just a free soul exploring. Adam, what do you think? Shouldn't she just explore?
Yes. Drew's mad at our 31-year-old Christine.
I don't like her either.
Well, look, all right. I know it's not, I know it's not a hip or popular angle to take on things, but when people act out, they're acting out for a reason. It's not just because they're Ponce de Leon out looking for the fountain of sex, or they're free spirits, or they're wild spirits, or who are you to tell them what they're doing is wrong? I don't care what they do. Let's just understand what gets them to do it.
That's
Let's
right.
be realistic about it.
I don't care what they do. I wish we lived in a world where all those behaviors were healthy. Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah, like your 16-year-old friend who was banging the bejesus out of half the guys in the senior class.
Oh, good.
Was doing it because she just likes sex.
Yeah, great. Good for her.
I don't think that's really
just make
thing.
Sure she wears a condom. It's not it. That's the point. She's got something going on, and when she probably was abused in some way sexually.
Yeah, I think that, I agree with you. That would be a great world if that's just what it was just for fun. But I think it's from just depression from all the drugs she's done. And
okay, so she's an addict also. So this may be sexual addiction too.
She's been she's doing a lot better. She used to be pretty bad, but now she's doing a lot better. But also it's just, I don't know, I just really fear for her, just mental
health. She's 16, right?
Yeah.
And she's been with how many guys?
I think in the last 2 years, she lost her virginity when she was 14. She's done about 50 guys.
50 guys in 2 years at 14 to 16.
See what you can do as a female? There's no stopping you.
Yeah. What?
Take over the world with your vagina.
Okay, what drugs was she doing?
She's pretty much down to just smoking weed and doing E, but she used to do acid and shrooms and
all right, well, she needs treatment, Emily. She is doing things that is quite damaging to her brain development. She's engaging in behaviors that really indeed are risk to her overall physical health, and it's because of her mental health. There's something very seriously going wrong here, and it may just all be addiction with a smattering of abuse or addictive family system here, or maybe sexual abuse at some point, but it needs to be treated. And I agree with you. You have right to be concerned, but you're not going to be able to change this. All you can do is get her to someone who can treat her.
All right. We got to take a break, but Aaron?
Mm-hmm.
You're 14?
Yeah.
You want to know how you should put your hands down your boyfriend's pants?
Make the first move and stuff.
The first move?
The move.
Oh, the first move. Okay. Hang on, Aaron.
Okay.
I'm an expert at letting people put their hands down my pants.
Is that letting or begging?
Begging people to put their hand. Paying people to put their hands down my pants. So I'll explain how that works after this, all right?
Okay.
All right.
Loveline. Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191. Back in a minute.
Yep. Loveline, everybody. I'm Adam. That is Drew. Let's get back to the phones. Speak to Aaron, who's trying to figure out how to get in her boyfriend's pants. Aaron? 14?
Yeah.
Hmm.
See, I think a male's perspective on this is, I don't understand the question.
Yeah.
You understand why?
Yeah, but how old is your boyfriend?
He's also 14.
And he's 14 and he's not had a lot of girlfriends?
I think so, yeah.
You think?
A couple, like 5 or 6 or so.
Five or six?
Yeah.
He's 14?
Yeah. I know.
He's doing, okay. Is he a virgin?
Yeah.
He is?
Yeah.
Good.
Well, how far have you two gotten?
Just making out.
Making out?
Yeah.
Why just keep it right there?
Really?
Yeah.
You want to... What do you want to do for him?
Just, I don't know. I really, really like him a lot.
Sure.
It's all right.
Yeah, and I just want to, I guess.
Well, when you're making out, what stops you from going to the next level?
Me, because I kind of have, like, a guilty, like, I don't know if I should or shouldn't. And then, yeah. Like,
how long have you been with him?
For a while, like 8 months or so.
Huh. Mm-hmm. So how old was he when you first met?
We were...
He was 13?
Yeah, 13.
You had 5 girlfriends?
5 or 6.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really? How's that work? You have a couple in the 6th grade and a couple in the 7th, and there you are? How's that work? I don't understand.
I don't know.
I know that, and I don't know how the guys work. You ever see those guys on those dating shows, and they're like... Bob says he's currently dating a handful of women, but nothing serious. What does that mean? Like, there used to be one, I think it was like Love Connection or something. Bob usually dates 4 or 5 times a week, but nothing is not in a serious relationship. I was always like, how's that work? What do you, you have 3 or 4 different women that you date? And what do you mean date? What are you doing? Just buying them dinner and then leaving? Or are you getting like a hand job? Or what's the agreement? By the way, how many dates have you been on that it's not progressed? And what are they saying about it?
What are they doing?
Yeah, I never know how that works. Aaron, on the other hand.
Another thing I don't understand is that all his friends and I guess like everybody I meet, you know, they're guys.
Uh-huh.
They all find me like really attractive, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't really, I guess, know why it's happening too. When I'm trying to do it to him, I don't understand like why he's doing that when like so many guys like me or whatever.
He doesn't seem to find you as attractive as the other guys.
Yeah, and I don't know if that be it.
Well, look here's what's going on. He's 14. He's nervous. As a guy, there comes a time, and
he's an idiot. You know what I mean?
True.
He's just a passionate man.
No, he's 14. There comes a time in a man's life when biology kicks in, and nerves be damned. There's a biology that's pushing this thing along.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But at 14, and there's guys that are 14 that are well into that biology. Personally, when I was 14, I would have been a little freaky.
Yeah.
Not sure what was going to happen.
Yeah.
Figuring here's an opportunity for me to screw something up.
Right.
Sounds good, but on the other hand,
yeah. Where am I going with this? What's going on here?
Yeah, I'm going to
somebody's going to catch me.
She's going to pull my penis out. I'm going to break wind when she yanks on it. Be like a rip cord for my anus. He's 14. That's what it is. And as a guy, you can't say, hey, I'm not ready. Let's not go there. Slow down. I'm feeling insecure. I'm feeling a little unsure of myself. No, you guy have to have the bravado. Like, no. I want to, but come on. You make excuses. Right. Guys are nervous at that age.
Yeah.
And you know, 12, sometimes 13, it's not really an issue. And at 16, 17, 18, it's not really an issue because the biology's kicked in. But there's that kind of no man's land, yeah. 14 and a half, 15, where things aren't really...
And there's tremendous variability in their sort of biological equipment at that point. Tremendous.
Right. So just take it slow. Don't beat yourself up.
Yeah.
And it'll work its way out. Carrie?
Kari.
You're 15?
It's Kari.
Oh, Kari. Sorry. What's up?
Hello.
Hey.
I'm a huge fan. I listen to you guys like every night.
Thanks.
My friend the other day was telling me about how her sister, I guess, gets a shot in the stomach. And
not in the stomach, but yeah.
Well, I don't know. In the abdomen, I guess, or somewhere. And it stops her period from...
No, it's not in the stomach. It's not in the abdomen. She gets a shot in the rear end.
Oh, really?
And it's Depo-Provera, and it's good for 3 months. And for the first 3 months, she'll bleed virtually the entire time. Mm-hmm. And then every shot thereafter, the period kind of shuts down.
Why the rear end with the shots?
What's
wrong with the arm?
What?
Well, it's the volume. The volume. It can cause abscesses and things. And get
this is a lot of meat on your ass. It can take a nice syringe full.
A volume, an oil-based thing like Depo-Provera. And you can take the birth control pill also without taking the week off. You can take them in such a way that you don't have your period. That's something that people are doing these days also. Okay, why are you worried about getting rid of your period? What's the deal?
No, my friend was telling me about it, and I thought it sounded kind of fake.
No.
Well, the part about getting the shot in the stomach.
That's wrong.
Yeah, I knew that there was something you could get somewhere else, but I thought the stomach sounded kind of weird.
So you were half right.
Also, I had another really quick question.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I remember when you guys had Nick Carter on, like about a month ago or so.
Right.
Hold on, who's Nick Carter?
One of the Backstreet Boys?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, ooh. Yeah.
Yeah, and you guys re-aired it a couple times.
Okay.
I never really heard the whole thing, and I'm a huge fan, and I was wondering if you guys were ever going to like air that again. I didn't think you would.
Anderson?
No.
No?
No.
You're not?
All right, are we going to line five? Is that what you want us to do? What is this, Anderson? Line five? All right. All right, Karen, we're not going to re-air it. But keep listening. Karen. We may. I mean, Kari. That's right.
We're not going to re-air it, but listen, we might.
Well, I just thought, let's do some good radio.
All right. Here's Brent.
I took a listener and told him to really beat it. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
But if I give him a glimmer of hope, we'll keep him going.
Brenda's 39.
That's right. Brenda?
Well, he may actually be back on the show himself.
Hello.
That's right.
Hi, Brenda.
Are you there with me?
We're here.
I'm Brenda.
All right.
I'm 40 years old. I was with the same guy 16 years. I've been out on my own a good 6 years.
Right.
And I don't date or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughters now, I had 2 daughters in 1 year. One in February, one in December. 2 kids in 1 year. And I've been out on my own 5 years, five, six.
Five, six, right.
I've been...
What's your sign?
I'm a Cancer. My birthday is in 2 days. Yay!
Ooh, 41. Big 41.
I'm going to be 40.
Oh, big 40. Sorry.
I know it.
You started celebrating a little earlier.
Yeah.
So,
good times. What do you do for a living?
I work for an excellent restaurant. I'm a waitress. I've always been a waitress.
What kind of food? What kind of restaurant?
Uh-oh. You farting?
I can't hear you.
What kind of food?
Oh,
wow.
California cuisine with a Mediterranean flair.
Yeah. What were the specials tonight?
Oh, you know, we got some halibut and some salmon.
Mm-hmm. She's using her ham radio to broadcast to us. What is going on?
Right.
Yeah.
Halibut and salmon. How's that prepared?
Oh, with lemon dill sauce and polenta, whatever.
Is the Red River salmon? Or
penne pasta if you want it.
Oh, over a bed of penne pasta?
Yes.
All right. I'm going to have the salmon. And I like it cooked a little. I don't like it poached. You know, where it's kind of raw.
Oh, God, inside. Have I been through this with you.
Drew's going to have the baked halibut.
You know, I just realized you are the pain in the ass in the ordering when it comes to fish.
We have some curly fries with a side of ranch for the table.
Oh, we don't serve ranch.
Okay, Roquefort, what do you have on tap?
What we have on tap is Sierra Nevada. Mm-hmm.
That's nice. I like that.
Yeah. Alaskan Amber.
Oh, wow, that's it.
And that, you know.
Okay. I'm going to have the Sierra Nevada.
Okay.
Drew will...
Do you want penne pasta, polenta, or garlic mashed potatoes?
You know what? This is sobering her up.
The penne pasta.
Oh, I know it.
Is it garlic mashed? That's not like a twice-baked potato. That's a mashed potato with garlic in it?
Mashed potato with a little bit of garlic
in it. All right. And
I can't eat the garlic, you know, Adam.
Small Caesar. You want to split a Caesar?
I can't have the garlic.
Okay, I'll have a small Caesar. Drew's gonna have the cheese sticks.
You want chicken on it?
Yeah, I'd like chicken in that.
Or tiger shrimp.
No, I'll have the chicken in the small Caesar. Okay, and fresh ground pepper, please.
But I do have a question.
What is it?
I've been celibate, for 5 years.
I'd link to that.
Yeah, five years.
Right.
Where do I find the right guy?
Well, you at the liquor store?
Country girl. No.
How old are your girls? How old are your kids?
I'm not going to the... I told you, my birthday is June 26th.
How old are your kids? Right. How old are your kids?
11 and 12.
Yeah.
Big girl.
Yeah.
Good girls. Oh, boy. Probably making porn right now.
Maybe it's not time to find the guy until...
Never been married.
Okay. Well, listen.
Oh, she's with the same guy for 16 years but never married.
Yeah. Okay. And by the way, he's just like bragging that she's never been married. Meanwhile, she got the two kids.
Yeah.
I think Brenda needs to find sobriety.
Yeah. Nothing, whatever decision she makes in her disease, she will regret.
Right. And believe me, you're doing a horrible job with those kids.
Just with the drinking problem. Yeah.
That and the description of the specials.
Yeah.
That was weak. That's just so
she's loaded,
we got halibut.
She's loaded.
Well, but you see, I've done this job load. I've done, Dr. Drew, board certified physician.
Yeah, you do the job load a lot of times. Yeah, you do. You're wasting.
Yeah, I do a good job, right?
Yeah. All right.
No, all right.
No.
Touche.
Yeah. Hello. This is your radio. Radio. Love line. We'll be right back.
Hey. There you go. Well, that's it. Another show. Successfully finished.
Just finished.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Forget about it. I was going to say something nice or clever or something, but I'm out of work.
Are you kidding?
So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo. What's your sign?
I'm a Cancer. My birthday is in 2 days. Yay! Oh,
this has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.